Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Movie Trivia Schmodown. I'm Christian Harlock.
I am Mark Baby.
Yeah, a little bit from the trailer there. It's Extension 720 on 720 WGN. I am Justin Kaufman, and coming up on Saturday night at the Athenaeum Theater on Southport and Lakeview, the MTS presents the Movie Trivia Schmodown Live. Movie Trivia Schmodown started back in 2014. It's a show that originates from the studios at Collider in L.A. and Los Angeles, and it's one of the greatest premises ever concocted. Movie Trivia competition between teams fashioned in a WWE-like SmackDown. Characters, teams, rankings, tournaments. It's all to crown who knows the most about movies. It's the brainchild of Christian Harloff and Mark Ellis. They're the main hosts. And this Saturday, you'll be able to see an extra round that is Star Wars themed for the big Star Wars celebration that's in town. In studio with me tonight, one of the hosts, Christian Harloff, and Mark Riley and Ben the Boss Bateman. Bateman and Riley will be competing as the team Who's the Boss on Saturday. Guys, thanks so much for being here on Extension 720. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having us, man. We're really excited to talk about it. Happy to be in Chicago. It's the first time in Chicago, and what a way to do it. Almost like 1,000 people are going to be there. It's nuts.
Did you time this up to be with the Star Wars celebration, or was just a happenstance?
We did time it up for sure, because I've been hosting a show on Collider called Collider Jedi Council for a long time. It's one of our biggest shows that we've done, and it just the audience has always been there. When we went to Orlando, they were there. In Anaheim, they were there. So we just said, just makes sense, because we did New York. We went to New York and we sold out in like 2 days in New York, and we got to do Chicago. We got to do it right around Celebration. We sold 700 seats in like 2 days, and then it's just been going on and on. They had to add more seats, and we're really excited to be here.
Where do you think this comes from? Because obviously you guys have had success and been able to get a great following from what you do from the Collider Studios in Los Angeles. But to be able to, in 2 days, sell out a venue in a different city, that takes a lot of loyalty. So where do you think it comes from that the audience sticks with you?
Well, it's the idea behind it. And it's because anytime you tell somebody, hey, I do competitive movie trivia, they go, what's that? And then it's funny, because when we were in New York, I had a couple of my friends that I grew up with, my childhood friends, that came out to see it. And the way that I always pitch this thing is that if the UFC was a movie trivia competition, it would be the Schmodown. We've turning movie trivia into a sport, because the way you have to do it, like anything else, you can't just do trivia. People right. get bored with it. You got to have investment. Like these two guys, like they're characters. There's heels. There's good guys. There are factions. There are champions. But the trivia is all legit, because you want people to get invested. It makes it challenging for me, because it's like choose your own adventure all the time, because mm-hmm. I might have a plan for these guys, but if they lose, then I got to go, what do I do for the next guys? And it's you're always thinking, you're always moving. But because of that, to answer your question, the fans are on the edge of their seats. They want to know, they have their favorite fighters. They have their favorite factions. They hope that, my goal is that the people that say, I just want to watch a trivia, I'm not into the story, by the fifth time they watch, like, well, where are the story scenes? Where are the scenes? Who are my characters? It's the investment. It's as much a show yes. as it is a
contest. It's evolved over time to go back and see how you've evolved the show part of this, to even some of the theatrics that go into it, even some of the leagues or the different rankings.
Yeah.
It's all kind of evolved. So when you take us back to 2014, when you started it, did you have the grandiose idea that we see now in 2019 back in 2014?
No. The way that kind of came to be was my partner and I, Mark Ellis, we created this company called Schmoes Know, which was supposed to be just two dudes who review in movies the way that you do with your friends, right? And we started the show, and we used to be regulars on the Adam Carolla podcast, and they had said, you guys should do a podcast. And we did, and it was very similar to a studio like this, and we had kind of the morning zoo type of feel, and we needed bits to do in between it. So we went to this pizza place in Anaheim, and we were like, let's do a trivia contest, because it was right around March Madness. So let's do a trivia contest with the personalities that we have. We'll do 16 players, we'll do 15 weeks, and let's just deem a champion. So actually, the man sitting to my far right over here, Mark Riley, actually won our first tournament.
OG champ.
He was. He's two-time champ. He's a legend. Yeah. He's a legend of the
legend.
Game.
He's a Rushmore guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you, guys.
Yeah,
I appreciate
that. Yeah, so he's been around. Actually, Riley's been with me since the beginning. So once that caught on, because the fans loved it. They loved it. So we did it again next year. But it's when I went to Collider in 2016 that I pitched as a weekly show, and it really caught on with the Collider audience. And then we did two times a week. And that's when I started to say, no, I got something with this thing. So now I'm going to move it, and I'm going to start saying, let's have press conferences. Let's have championships. Let's have people kind of, competitors can turn on one another, and we'll go if you're going to go 100%, right? And it worked. So we just kept doing it.
Let me bring in Mark and Ben here. Yeah. Mark, as an Ochi champ, somebody who is a legend in the league, what drew you to this? What was it? I mean, did you just say, hey, I'm really good at movie trivia, or was the whole concept attractive?
The whole concept was attractive, and I've been with Christian and Mark for, you know, almost day one of Schmoes Know, and then when he brought this up, I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I want to do this, because I've always just known movies. It just kind of stuck with me. And Christian and I were sitting there going, who's going to be at the end of there? It's going to be me and you. I was always looking at Christian as the guy I'm going to take on.
I competed back in the day.
Because he competed back in the day. And everybody would kind of look at me and Christian as the guys that would probably end up.
And what was your specialty? What is your specialty? Do you feel like you know sci-fi or comedy or Star Wars?
My specialty really is horror and scores and soundtracks. Are the two that I would say I know a lot of. 80s, I know a lot of. Fantasy's pretty good. What else?
You know what's funny, though, is because you go to the OG competitor, and it really goes back to your questioning here, too. It started with just the simple premise of this tournament, but when you started to develop the characters, that's when this guy came in, right? Yeah, his old partner, Andrew Guy, they came in as Team Action, and I didn't really know them that well. We had met a couple times, but I said, you guys just got to wear the suits and put on the sunglasses and talk Smash. They were the two biggest heels that we had, and the fans loved it. They took the character to the nth degree.
And you're talking about Ben, of course.
Correct. Bateman. And then Ben got put through a table by his old partner.
It was a whole thing. I mean, he's not making it up, you know, when we came in the league, like, you know, we were new to the idea of wrestling and the characters, but we were like, okay, we just got to turn it on. We got to just outperform these guys. Because early on, we looked at each other and we were like, you know what? Win or lose, because look, this guy's like a genius when it comes to this stuff, you know. And a lot of these guys that have been in the space, they got a couple years on me. So I was like, I didn't grow up watching the same trailers as these guys, so I got to get on camera by just character. That's what I got to do. And obviously, you know, I grew into the trivia a little bit more, but that's what Andrew and I did.
And you know, there's something about that, Ben, too, because when you look at the way that you have the set set up in the Collider space, it almost feels like you're walking on stage. You're walking in front of these microphones. There is this amazing way that you will set the players up. They come out of the curtain. There is just this vibe that it is set up for performance. So it's not surprising that you figured it out right away. The way to shine is to outperform the other competition.
It was absolutely, because him and Andrew Guy, who might be the best performer, one of the best performers we've ever seen in the league,
best we've ever had.
But the other thing, though, that they also did something, and again, the comparison to UFC continues, because when I was watching UFC, and my favorite fighter for a long time was Chuck Liddell, because he'd come in there, he'd scrap, he'd throw his bombs, and that was it. But eventually, there was that style of fighter just went out, because there was the mixed martial artist who just knew everything. Yeah, right. And then you got a guy like George St. Pierre, and that was like the ultimate fighter, you know, pun intended. And that's what Ben Bateman has started to do. Ben Bateman
for movie trivia.
For movie trivia, correct. But when I say that, he came into it, and he knew a lot. They had, dude, these guys, stuff that I would never do. They have these study guides, like him, this guy Mike Kalinowski, this guy Kevin Smets, Rachel LaCrusher Cushing, all these characters, they do these study guides, and they know so much more.
Really?
Yeah, because the goal of this, and what I realized this was at the New York event, there was this family that came, the Mariano family, who came, and they brought their two young daughters, and these kids were coming in, and my daughter, who's 7, wants to be like Rachel LaCrusher Cushing, and they want to, I'm going to make it very different for people to watch movies. Kids are going to go in understanding directors now.
You know, I find that to be so, and what we'll do, take a break here, and I want to pick that up because there's something to be said about the generation and our generation that we all are in, where movie trivia really became a thing, where we knew every little thing that happened in the Goonies, you know, and we'll throw back a line and everything in between. And you guys have found a way to capitalize on it. But there's something in our zeitgeist. There's something about really taking ownership of knowing every movie and knowing the side characters and knowing the great lines or knowing where it was shot or so on and so forth. So we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about where that comes from and why do you think that's that is a big part of our society. In studio right now, Christian Harloff, Mark Riley, and Ben the Boss Bateman, all here for the movie trivia Schmodown, which is live at the Athenaeum Theater on Saturday. We'll talk more about that coming up here on Extension 720, so stay with us. Welcome back to Extension 720 and 720 WGN. Cindy Lauper from the Goonies. Thanks, Pete. Beats by Zim. The movie trivia Schmodown is going to be live at the Athenaeum on Southport this Saturday. This is an incredibly popular show. It streams, podcast, originates out of the studios of Collider in Los Angeles. In studio with me tonight, Christian Harloff, Mark Riley, and Ben Bateman. We're talking about just our overall fascination with movies. And, you know, obviously you have created a movie trivia competition that that beats all movie trivia competitions, and it's proven by the way the audiences flock to this. You're getting recognized, Ben. You're just telling me in the break about getting recognized in Chicago. I mean, the minute you get off the plane, people know who you are. It's crazy.
It's a weird thing, because when somebody asks you what this thing you do is, you say, you know, it's like WWE, except for instead of hitting somebody, I'm doing movie trivia. And that's the elevator pitch, right? That's right. What have you explain it. And so the idea that, like, I've gotten stopped out of bathrooms at airports by fans who were like, good luck with your match coming up, man. And then, like, in my mind, you know, maybe that match is already taped. I don't know. But, like, I'm like, of course, I'm so excited. I'm hyped, man. You know, you never know, right? And, like, it's definitely a weird thing to get recognized for. It's funny, but it's you embrace it because you love movies.
And this happens. This happens regularly.
Yeah. A lot more than I realized. Like, I was coming out. You know, we work in Burbank, and I was walking to my car, and a guy walked by, and he's like, "Riley, I can't wait for your match. Yeah, come on, man. You're gonna win, right?" And I'm like, "All right, man. Yeah, I'm gonna win. I hope. You know, that buying wine. You know, somebody's walked by me. My nickname's Yodi, and they just walk by and do a flyby. They're like, "Yodi, all right," and they keep going, and I'm like.
And Ben,
hey man,
even here in Chicago today, I mean, you were just saying right before at Intelligentsia that they knew who you were.
Yeah, this gentleman was really polite, and I was like, I love this place. We have these in L.A., you know, and he looks at me and he's like, dude, I have to shake your hand. I'm the biggest Team Action fan, and I was just blown away. And he says, I want to buy your cup of coffee. So then I go sit down at the end of the bar, and I pull out my laminated folder of studying for this match, and he looks at me and he's like, are you studying right now? I go, yeah, he goes, rock and roll, man.
How does he feel about who's the boss? Can I get a free coffee?
Yeah, right. I'll give you a token.
Well, because that was the thing. So these guys, because Riley, for any WWE listeners out there, Riley was our Sting. And Sting, if you were a wrestling fan, never went heel. He's always a good guy. Riley's our Sting, a Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, right? And he's just always that guy. And Ben was one of our big heels. And we had this Anarchy tournament last year to where it was like a superstar shakeup, if you will. And all these people that shouldn't have been teamed up together got put together, and they had to enter this tournament. So Riley and Bateman got formed in that tournament. And when it started out, they were not getting along, and they were paired up with this character in the back who was the manager, who was one of our biggest heel managers of all time, Tom Bagnino.
You gotta have the heel manager.
He's like Bobby the Brain Heenan, this guy, too. And
legend.
Yeah.
Total legend.
But he teams with them, and what we started to find out is that they were really good together. Yeah. So, and that's what I was telling you before, where the storyline starts to write itself, and then I was like, well, you guys should start, actually, even the characters should start kind of seeing eye to eye, and then once his old partner turned on him, then Bateman turns face, and here we go.
You obviously You shoot this in Los Angeles, and that's got to be a plus because of all of the talent. Because it obviously you need to know movie trivia, but it obviously you need to know improvisation in some form for you guys to be able to keep up and keep quick and actually play out these storylines. How important is it for you guys to have a performance background to keep up with entertaining the audience between trivia questions?
Yeah, I think it's very important. I mean, I was myself a theater major, but this was a whole new brain behind it, because even at the start of the league, I was like, some of these people, like Ben, coming in just hot, just doing a performance that is legendary. And some of the people you mentioned, Andrew Guy, and a lot of these people, it took me a while to kind of get the feel for it. Maybe it was my theater background that helped. But then once you're off and running, if you know your trivia, though, then you can kind of back up the performance. Because if you know your trivia, then, you know, that storyline writes itself, and it's a lot of fun to play along.
Christian, are you looking for that? Are you looking for people who have performance background and also unlike movies?
Look, the unicorn is the Andrew Guys and the Ben Batemans, guys who can really do both and, like, embrace it. Because when the thing started, to Mark's credit here, it wasn't about that. It was literally just, let's have fun and answer questions. But as it evolved, guys like Bateman come in and go, oh, I like the performance thing of it, and you want to find people who can do both. Now, a lot of people who come in, they're not, like, for example, I mentioned to you Rachel Cushing. She is arguably maybe one of our biggest stars. She's like the Hulk Hogan of the kids love her. She was an editor on The Bachelor. That's where I met her. She was an editor on The Bachelor, and she just knows a lot of trivia. She was not a performer. She never wanted to be on camera, and she's more natural now on camera, and she buys into it, but she's not like a performer. So I know, and I have to understand, that there are going to be people who are just good at movie trivia that are not going to be like the Ben Batemans.
Right.
They're not
going
to, and I have to understand that. I have to know
find
how
that
to
balance,
correct. I have to know how to use those people.
Right. I want to ask just about for all of you, you know, like we mentioned about the zeitgeist and how movie trivia or just retaining information about movies has just become its own cottage industry. Where do you think that comes from? Let's put on our hat here and try to understand why society goes gaga for quick lines in movies, for the recall, and essentially the fuel that makes the Schmodown work.
I mean, I think the easiest answer to that is just, you know, repeating things that you enjoy with your friends. It makes you feel good. I mean, I don't know if you guys ever watched Lone Survivor, but there's a...
Yeah.
When in the behind the scenes, it's a great movie.
It's a great movie, okay.
And it's a crazy, crazy war movie, right? The guy's dying. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the Marcos Luttrell, who wrote the book, he tells a story about they're on this mountain, they're fighting, and this is straight up terror. There's guns, people dying. They're quoting Anchorman to each other. That's what they're doing in the moment. But, and people die. They're quoting Anchorman because that's what they were doing back on the base. They were saying, I want to be on you. Because, like, that's what they love doing. So even in your most basic moments, I think it's the thing that brings you comfort.
Yeah,
and I think that works for people. And so, you know, you can take it in the most intense situation or you can take it in the most laid-back situation. Right. Us on a podcast, it's the same thing.
Well, it's the ultimate... why do we go to the movies in general? It's for escape, right?
Yeah.
And I think that because you take that with you. You take, like, whether it's... Let's say that it's a movie you saw with your dad or your mom, and it's something that sticks with you, and you remember those lines. For example, why do you think Cobra Kai is as big as it is, right? Mm-hmm. Because the Karate Kid was so amazing, and so sweep the leg, you know, wax on, wax off. These things that just stick with you.
Right.
There's so many different quotes, and you remember that, and it's the way that movies hit you. There's some movies, there's a movie that you probably know that you quote all the time that we would know what the heck you're talking about, but it's just because it's the experience that you have. And because there's so many movies inside of the Schmodown, there's so many questions that there's something inside of one of those questions that an audience member is going to be sitting down there and going, oh yeah, I know that one.
Yeah,
I got it.
Absolutely.
And then
right.
they want to see, and if for 1 second the two best miss it, I got it. And who's the boss did it? And they can rule because. And I was telling you off air, like a bunch of my buddies came to the New York event, and they don't know a lot of movie trivia at all. But the ones that they got, they were excited about. But then they watched Dan Merle, who's our current champion, win the championship, and then they had never seen or didn't know who Dan Merle was. But by the end of it, they were taking pictures with him, shaking his hand because of the way that. It to be able to retain that information, to be able to recall on that, it is impressive. It's the same way. That's why I always scoff at people when they go, it's just movie trivia. Well, it's just baseball. It's just basketball. It's just football.
Right.
Why do we watch athletes? Because they're doing something that we can't do to the fullest. So when you see guys pulling this kind of information, see these women pull this kind of information, you go, how do they do that? And you don't think it because you think it's so simple because it's just movie trivia until you see it. And that's when they see it live. That's why the live shows have been getting the new audience and seeing the experience. And to answer why they're so invested is because we've turned movie trivia into a sport.
That's wonderful. And it's well said. And it's a very articulate way to approach it.
And
it is. It's like sport.
He mentions the sports aspect. I mean, you mentioned Kevin Smets, Smasher. He's a new player
this
year.
He's crazy, this kid.
He's really good. He's having a great run in Intergeekdom. That's kind of like our Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel.
Lord of the Rings, yeah.
And Smasher came up to me the other day and he said, you know, I've listened to all your interviews. The way you talk about Schmodown and studying like sports, your strategy, I've really taken to heart. And I've really modeled. And I was looking at this kid. I was like, wow, like I tried to next level what this guy did and what this guy did when I came in.
Now,
I'm the old dog. I'm like a dinosaur now. My methods are not as good anymore. This kid's coming in. I mean, he's like Tom Hardy in Warrior. He's knocked guys out one punch.
They actually modeled his character off of that, though, too, because he came in. He was this kid. He auditioned in our Patreon. You can go. There's a tier where you can audition to be in the league, and I'll do an audition with these people. And he did it. He wasn't good at the time. He didn't make the cut. So I sent him. There are fan leagues. Like these fans have started all these leagues. There's different leagues,
wow.
And we've actually gotten a few people from the fan leagues. But Kevin Smets went to the fan leagues and dominated. And I said, all right, I'm going to give you a shot. So he came back now, and he used that though, and he used that the anger of being turned away on his first shot.
Right.
And he has a manager, this guy Kaiser, and he's basically says, I want you. Tom Hardy, warrior style. And he doesn't come in, doesn't say anything. He puts his head down and he destroys dudes.
Yeah.
He's 2-0 with two knockouts.
In movie trivia.
In movie trivia.
Yeah.
In movie
trivia.
He knocked him out with one punch.
That's it.
The movie trivia Schmodown Live is at the Athenaeum coming up here on Saturday. Well, let's take a break. We'll get the news and we'll come back. And I want to get at the Star Wars part of this because you're here for the Star Wars celebration, Chicago. A lot of people are here this weekend for this very unique event that's happening at McCormick Place. We'll continue the conversation here. Christian Harloff, Mark Riley, and Ben Bateman are here, and we will be right back here on Extension 720, so stay with us. Thanks, David. It's Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. The guys from the Movie Trivia Schmodown, which will be live at the Athenaeum Theater here. It's going to be Saturday night at the Great Theater. That's a great theater over on Southport and Lakeview. It'll be two. Really, it's two rounds. You got one that's general and one that's Star Wars, right? That's
So it's actually a double main event because we started off and we're gonna have because obviously it's a celebration where the Star Wars Championship will be defended. That's a 5-round match, and it's gonna be between our champion Alex Damon from Star Wars Explained, and we are gonna find out who our contender is actually at Star Wars Celebration. So tomorrow we're doing a Fatal 5-Way competition on the fan stage from Celebration around 2:15, and it's funny because Alex Damon's wife is in that too. So if she, if she won, it would be a civil war.
Wow.
But we'll see. But that's part of it. Then, like you mentioned, the double part of the main event is the gentleman here sitting behind me, next to me. Who's the boss? They are in a team match, which is a lot of our general trivia. They're playing up against the Odd Couple, Mark Andreyko and Jeff Snyder, in a number one contender match. The winners will go on to face our champions, who are the Shire Wolves, Rachel Cushing and Clark Wolf.
Okay, there you go. That's all coming up on Saturday. Yeah. In studio, Christian Harloff, Mark Riley, and Ben Bateman. Star Wars plays a big role in this, and in the movie Trivia Schmodown in general. It's one of the categories. Why is Star Wars one of the categories? Why can't it just be looped in with sci-fi, fantasy, or anything else? Why is Star Wars all on its own?
Well, the clear answer to this is because I have a bias to it. That's the clear answer. I love Star Wars, and I think that if I was someone else, it maybe the Star Trek division. I don't know, but like, and the other answer is because in the last 5 or 6 years, Star Wars has taken over pop culture again. And it certainly did it once Force Awakens, right when we started the division, it was right around Force Awakens had just come out. There was a movie a year coming out, and there was just, we knew there was going to be more movies to be had and more lore, so there was enough material. So we said, let's capitalize on it. And 2 years ago in Orlando, we did a Star Wars Schmodown, and Sam Witwer, who voiced Darth Maul in Solo, and as well as Rebels and Clone Wars, he competed in it. And we just had 700 people in the room. We said, let's just keep this as a division. And and Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sam competed together in the Star Wars division. So we said, let's just keep doing it. And we did. And it's definitely a niche thing. It has the less matches. Like, there's way more matches in the singles and the teams and the inner geekdom. This is kind of specialty. But what better place to do it than Star Wars?
Well, guys, I mean, do you have to bone up on your Star Wars trivia, or is that something because everybody seems to just be head over heels about the Star Wars franchise? Does it come easier to you?
Yeah, Star Wars would, in general, come easy to me until they started the league, and then we got through all those questions that I knew, and they started doing the deep cuts, where I'm like, yeah, I'm out. It's like, I would have to bone up. I could probably do pretty well if I really focus and study.
If you're focusing and studying, what does that mean?
I would, watch the movies a lot, probably make some spreadsheets like Ben Bateman has taught me, to laminate those things.
And what's in those spreadsheets? The names of characters, the planets they're on? What are you talking about?
It depends on the category, but I mean, like, to give you a good example of kind of the Star Wars League versus the regular league.
Yeah.
Regular league question might be when, I don't know, when she says, I love you, what does Han say, right?
I know.
Okay, right? Yeah, so that's like, that'd be like a regular, everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Star Wars League question would be like, in Empire Strikes Back, when Han's going into the carbonite, the fourth bounty hunter on the right, a character whose name you're supposed to know, is what shade of green?
And what's his mother-in-law's name?
That's like the kind of questions you get where it's like, spreadsheets are not going to get me there. So Star Wars, I don't study Star Wars.
Just go with it. It's gut or get out.
Right? If you're going to study something, there's categorical studying you can do. Yeah. You know, there's wheel slices. We're aware of those slices. Right. So for instance, like, Pixar is a wheel slice. There's only 21 Pixar movies. If you want to watch 21 movies, you can master that slice.
As performers, are they aware of what the categories are going to be ahead of time? So can they study knowing what the categories are going to be, or is that all?
So you mean as far as the general league?
Yeah, like if I'm going to be on tomorrow and it's going to just a regular episode.
I mean, yes and no. The competitors get to pick, especially in teams. Both these guys will be able to pick out of the slices. I think there's 12 slices on the wheel.
Yeah,
there's 12 slices on the wheel. They'll be able to pick two of their strengths. So let's say Mark says, I want scores and soundtracks. So that would be on there. Ben says, I want action movies. Those will be on there. But their opponents might, they can play it. This is where strategy comes into it. Now, their opponents could take two strengths, or their opponents have watched enough of their matches that they can pick weaknesses for them, because there is opponents and spinner's choice
on
the
wheel.
That's
where you need the manager.
That's when you need the manager.
Exactly.
Yeah, they both have managers, because Odd Couple's manager, which is great, and I have to bring this up, Odd Couple's manager is Roxy Stryer, who not only is my co-host on Collider Live, happens to be Ben's ex-girlfriend in real life.
In real life.
And
yeah,
so, and she is the manager. And I'm telling you, this is where the Vince McMahon stuff comes in too, because I worked for Vince. I was a writer for WWE.
Okay.
And Vince McMahon always said, you take the best parts of reality and you make them fiction.
Right.
And that's what I'm doing here. And one of the things that, and they both play into it, and it turns out that, you know, Ben and Roxy now happen to be on opposite sides here, and I couldn't be happier.
You know, it's kind of interesting, because if you think about the way the world works now with the internet, and I'm only through the lens of my 11-year-old son, movie trivia is everywhere. I mean, he can pop up any channel at any place, and they can talk about a movie or talk about Marvel or give you all the fourth bounty hunter to the left.
Right.
Is it going to, as you continue with this and this grows, you're going to have much more nuanced and educated competitors who are almost grew up on trivia, where because they have it at their fingertips, where maybe when we were growing up, it was just we watched Goonies 10 times.
It's pure knowledge, as opposed to the people who are studying and paying attention. Going back to the reference that I gave you before, to where there's, if this thing gets to the place that I know it can be, there's going to be a 9-year-old in Kansas who is going to the movies not just to watch it, but to see who the director was, to pay attention to the character names, to the restaurant that they went to, that because they want to compete in the Schmodown. And there's already people doing it, because the evolution of it, like you mentioned before, as far as Los Angeles goes, there's a lot of people in there. I've kind of hit my ceiling as far as the people that I could find, because I know all the contenders and they've reached out to me. But it's finding those people in the fan leagues and getting the budget. And one of the reasons we have the Patreon and doing the live events, so I want to do an Ultimate Fighter type show. I want to go around the country and find, because Rachel Cushing, like I mentioned to you, there's someone right now in Detroit or in Chicago who is the best movie trivia mind that we've ever seen.
And you know what I find fascinating about the whole thing is, and money aside, let's put money aside for a second, you don't need a Bravo or a channel, money aside, you know, I'm saying there's obviously paydays there.
Right.
But the amount of clicks and subscribers and things that are coming through all of your channels in the hundreds of thousands is on point with a cable network. And do you see yourself, as you talk about, I want to do an Ultimate Warrior show, or I want to do something else, you don't necessarily need to pitch the apparatus that was Hollywood. You can make it yourself.
That's the goal. I'd much rather do it myself, and that's why we do it. Because Patreon, people don't really understand what it is. Patreon is just as much of a streaming service at this point as it is. Like people, it's people asking for money. It's anything but that. We give tiers and we give opportunities to people to do things. We $10 is exhibition matches that are exclusive to people, and we do these things to build for those reasons alone. So I can. Because of Patreon, I'm able to do a show in Chicago and to be able to do a show in Los Angeles. We went from doing 3 shows live last year in Los Angeles to now doing 8 shows around the country this year.
Interesting. All right, go ahead, Ben.
I was going to say, what's brilliant about it, just to get to that point, is that, you know, when the thing started, it started as a movie trivia on YouTube show. The stories and the storylines and the characters, they started to build over the few years. Now, what we have in this extremely oversaturated YouTube culture is we have an extremely committed audience that's here for the stories. So they're in. They learn through movie trivia. They're not going anywhere because they're watching their favorite characters play out stories. And that's what this thing is that's different than, say, a flash in the pan YouTube show where people like eat hot wings and answer questions or something like that.
Right.
You know, I mean, those shows are great, but they're flash in the pan because there's no story.
Right.
One episode is one episode.
They haven't had an opportunity to develop.
Right. Or throw someone through a table.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, through movie trivia. Right. Okay, so I'd be remiss not to ask about Marvel, because Endgame is just right around the corner. I can't believe it. It's in 2 weeks or something like that.
So exciting.
But yeah, for, you know, that's going to be, obviously there are theories and so much trivia that would come out of that world. I mean, it's unbelievable how many characters have been developed in the last 10 years that, and they're talking about streaming all the movies together in 22 hours or 59, whatever it was. I saw the big story on this. But this is a movie moment for you guys being movie guys and movie geeks. This right here, what's coming up, I don't know if everyone recognizes how important Endgame is to your culture.
Oh, it's something what Marvel did. I mean, they created the shared universe, and I know, I mean, they really made it from Iron Man in 2008, at the very end, when Sam Jackson walks in and says, "Have you heard the Avengers Initiative?" Everybody, I walked out of that movie not knowing that was happening, and now everybody sits in a movie and watches the credits, which is great. But also, to get that little piece that's going to connect to the next story.
Never did that before,
and
right?
Now we're 10, 11 years later, the culmination of this, this thing could open to $300 million, being the biggest opening of all time.
Wow.
Domestically, and I think it could. I think it has a chance of being 300.
Yeah, and what they did was they serialized movies, and not just the way of like there's a sequel and another sequel. No, you had to watch the first one, and you start to get invested all the way through. And like Mark said, 11 years later, fittingly so, called Endgame, because that is the end of this series. It really is the series finale. They'll do more Marvel movies, but this is the series finale from the first one you saw in Iron Man, and it's really smart as far as the trivia goes. And that's why we're doing like this exhibition MCU match, to have the best players who know, because you talk about people who know Star Wars. I have five players that know the MCU. By the way, I'd host a Star Wars show. I would compete with none of these people because I can't remember anything. I know like, you know, lore and things like that. But when it comes to like MCU and names and stuff, you watch what these people can do. It's really impressive.
It's impressive, and it's changed movie making. And I also feel, as someone who is very nonchalant about it, and I will go watch movies there. It was always hit or miss when it came to big summer superhero blockbuster movies.
Yep.
I mean, the Transformers was one where you're like, I'm not sure what I'm watching here.
Right.
Even some of the Batman stuff where you're like, okay, this was good. This one wasn't so good. This one was good. This one not. But they have hit in a way that they're artistic. There's a lot of morality in these films, mm-hmm. and they are stylistic through the roof. I mean, these are tremendous movies that stand alone without them being part of one shared universe.
When I watched Infinity War, one of the shows I do a podcast called Action Movie Anatomy, it's an hour long. We have something called thesis statement. It's like you're writing a college paper on the movie. And mine for that movie was that Infinity War is the greatest cinematic achievement in the history of commercial film. Mm. The reasoning being, it's impossible to imagine that they could have achieved what they did in 20 movies. It's not, you can't script that. You can't make that up. It's just everything had to converge correctly. It had to be perfect. And you're talking about there's a kind of a blue chip value to the MCU that nothing else, I think the closest is Pixar. It's the only other one I can think of that but it's not a shared universe, but it's a brand in the same way. That's the only one that has quite as many hits. But I mean, the worst Marvel movie is still a good movie. And there's like 14 out of the 22 now that are classics, legitimately classic movies. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. More than 10.
Could you even see that coming from you guys? I mean, the fact that Iron Man first came out.
They didn't see this coming. I mean, they had an idea of what Kevin Feige is another guy who's just a genius, you know? And I'm sure he had an idea, if this thing hits, we could then do this. But it starts to build over and over and over. Well, now we can do this. Because they didn't have the full cut plan, but they knew where they wanted to go. And what you had mentioned before, as far as stylistic, what they did very smart was that they would switch up, and not every movie was the same, but they got different directors. But like, for example, Ant-Man was like a heist film, and Doctor Strange was kind of like a creepy, surreal, almost not really a horror, but they got a horror director to do it.
There.
Yeah, and it had a horror element to it. And they would switch up the genres, and Captain America Winter Soldier was like a Bourne Identity movie. You know, it's like it was just a very smart way of storytelling.
And I have to, you know, it still blows my mind because they've been able to put this together, and Endgame is coming out. The other thing about the internet is that it is just ripe with spoilers.
Yeah,
I mean, this idea that this is probably one of the most best-kept secrets in movie history, but every third link that pops up says, hey, spoiler, this is what's going to happen. They have really outdone themselves on being able to keep that reveal, keep what's going to happen in their films quiet. How do they do that?
With Endgame, this is what's so special about what the Russo brothers have done and what Marvel has done, is that movie's clocking in at 3 hours and 2 minutes.
Oh,
and we've had trailers that are no more than 2 minutes. So you've seen 2 minutes of footage. And they even went out and said, we're only showing you probably the first 10 minutes of the movie because we want to protect it. And that's, I've spoken with people that you walk on set, you have an NDA in front of you, and they want to keep the secrets. It's for the fans. They're looking out for the fans.
But this is also the example of when you allow creators to create, as opposed to just following a business model, to where the Russo brothers are creators, and they understand that because of the success of Infinity War, this movie will get people in theaters. You don't need to show them the whole movie in the theater. In the trailer. A lot of these movies will show you so much inside of the trailer that you don't need to see, but they think, oh, otherwise you're not going to get them in there. Now, if it's a brand new IP that people don't don't know, I understand showing a little bit more of the story.
No, I just went to the movies and they showed the Fast and Furious trailer, and I was like, that's the whole movie.
You don't need to. And that's a built franchise. Show me The Rock, you show me Statham, you show me what they're going to do. You don't need to show that entire movie. And a lot of times they get scared for some reason. They show too much. And the Russo brothers understand you don't need to do that.
Well, I really appreciate having you guys here. It's really great talking movies.
Pleasure.
We don't get a chance to do that often. The show is the Movie of Trivia Schmodown Live at the Athenaeum Theater coming up on Saturday night. It's on Southbourne Lakeview. Where can they get tickets? Where's the information?
Well, there are 10 tickets left now. We just found out today there are literally 10 tickets left. So if you guys, they added seats and everything too. So I just, as we talked this morning, there were like 60 left and there are 10 left now.
That's
so
amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. You can go to the schmodownlive.com to get it. But I think another important thing, if you like this conversation, you want to check it out, there's two ways to check out the show. You can go to triviasd.com and you can find articles and profiles and rankings and all that of the champions, but you can then go to YouTube and just youtube.com / the Schmodown. We have our own dedicated channel. Love Collider, very happy and still shoot from there, but we are on our own now on our YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/the Schmodown. Please go subscribe, check us out, and you can also find us on audio form as well.
Don't forget, we're playing in Houston.
We
got a match in Houston.
So May 18th, actually, this is funny. Booker T, the great wrestler, 5-time champion, was a fan of the show. We've been working with him, and he's allowing us to do his wrestling arena. We're doing our first Schmodown May 18th
in an actual wrestling arena.
Van Bateman is playing his old partner in a one-on-one match.
Put me through a table last year.
And they're playing in a wrestling ring. Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
That's amazing. Good for the fans in Houston.
Yeah.
Christian Harloff, Mark Riley, and Ben Bateman in studio tonight. The Movie Trivia Schmodown. You can find it online and, of course, live at the Athenaeum on Saturday. Guys, thanks so much for
having us, man.
Thanks for having us.
It.